1. The most parsimonious solution. It needn't have been technology billionaires. There were plenty of other forces of merciless capital and power in the world. These simply happened to be the ones to whom Martha Einkorn had access. They were the ones who were so focused on the future that they could be dazzled by a vision of all they feared coming to pass. They were the ones she could persuade to buy Augur, and to think that a set of matchboxes and beads could learn to transcend time, who believed so strongly in the promises of artificial intelligence that they took its words more seriously than their own senses and reason. For this to work, they just had to be willing for the computers to know more than them, and they had to want, in their heart of hearts, for the world to come to an end. All of life is contingent, and if Martha had found herself in the middle of a different kind of revolution, she would have swum upstream in it nonetheless. It hadn't been easy. Deciding to do it is never enough. Having the idea is never enough. Moving the world takes 1,000,000 tiny pieces. The easiest thing, of course, would have been to kill them. Get them onto the plane together, put an explosive on board, detonate it when they were out at sea, debris falls into the ocean, no one finds it, no one knows where the plane went, disable the black box before you start, terrible tragedy. But killing would not do. There was a vertiginous afternoon in one of their anonymous out-of-the-way hotel suites when they discussed it. Even Badger truly raised the question of whether killing their mother would be the simplest, most parsimonious solution, of whether, in fact, they could do it.
I think I could kill Zimri, said Sella.
A lot of people feel that way after a decade of marriage, said Albert. I can't do it, said Badger. It's not even that I think it's the wrong answer. I just know I can't. The thing is, said Martha, even if we decide we should do it, one of us will decide against it the day before and go to the FBI. Not killing them makes it more possible that this plan will really happen.
Cold, said Albert at the same time that Sella said, realistic.
Badger looked at their own hands and felt suddenly that these were not their hands at all, that they belonged to somebody else and were moving and fluttering in this strange, ugly way of their own accord. The thought of killing, of a murder charge, of a trial. Badger felt completely certain this could not be their life.
If we save their lives and keep them somewhere safe, said Badger, we'll never be guilty of murder.
And that was how they came to it. A terrible, unforeseeable accident, brought on by their own technology. They could always be found somehow.
It's messy, said Sella. If they're still alive, they band together, they figure something out, they walk to civilization, they make a mast out of tin cans and a transmitter out of their own fillings. There's always a chance they'll pull some Iron Man shit, be back in 3 months, and we will all be in jail.
Badger said, so we make it easy for them, easy enough that they don't get desperate. My mom already thinks it's going to be a luxury vacation. This is always the secret. This was how these technology fortunes had been made. Make it all so easy and enjoyable and frictionless that you never start to ask yourself the big questions about whether this is really how you want to be spending your life. The more people who knew about the plan, the more likely one of them would leak. Sella suggested they use Zimri's method, divide and rule. Find people who had a good reason not to tell anyone else what was happening. There was no need for the corrupt factory supervisor in Shenzhen to know what he was making. If he did what he was told, Martha would not have to let Mr. Sketlish know about the errors by which a little under 0.1% of the product of the factory had been sold to third parties, the money going into the supervisor's pocket. That really boiled the sweat out of his body. So she had an invisible production line. They made small, innocuous transmitters, had them packed into precisely the same boxes as the other perfectly legitimate spares for a private jet, and shipped using barcodes only Martha would ever be able to identify, to sit in the spare parts storage units of several emergency airfields in picturesque locations in the United States and Canada. When the time was right, there would be a carton with their own transmitter where they needed it, one that had been sitting there for months or even years. And when the transmitter was plugged in, smartphones and other devices would preferentially connect to it. Anyone connected to one of these transmitters would think they were looking at the internet, but they would actually be seeing the world through an invisible filter. Bywater and Nomik and Sketlish would see something that would encourage them to stay away from the world. Sella did most of the filter coding herself, with the help of 5 distributed teams, each of whom thought they were working on different projects that never came to fruition. One team working on creating fake news were told they were the black hat. They had to create an apocalypse as real and convincing and hard to detect as possible so that another team's work in deepfake detection could be tested. They were never to know who that team was. They would never hear the results of the tests. That was 20 MIT and Stanford graduates lit from within by the glow of righteousness and justice, working long hours in front of their screens for 2 years, creating a program that would take any footage or any stills of any city in the world and morph their contents to show an appalling pandemic in progress. They used artificial intelligence programs to write posts, alter posts, insert new items into photographs, tweak the world in large and small ways. "Fucking love it," said Sella, standing in front of a screen where an innocuous tourist photo of a couple in front of the pyramid at the Louvre was transformed seamlessly into a terrifying image of police attacking pigeons with a flamethrower. "We were inspired by 28 Days Later, obviously," said the team lead, an earnest 27-year-old named Bradley. "We decided we'd get some amazing visuals if the next great plague came from animals, like the Black Death." He showed her his modeling, how fast a plague like that would spread, what would have to happen for it to have erupted on several continents almost simultaneously. The 2020 novel coronavirus had given them lots to play with, but they'd made it much worse in a dozen different ways. There was something Bradley found satisfying in imagining this plague. Sella could tell. Zimri was the same. To imagine the destruction of mankind, terrible end of things, the flame and blood and pain and death. Was that the satisfaction? A kind of sadism? Or a masochism? The conscience acting on the self, saying, "This is what you deserve. This is what you earned." Maybe. A man driven to commit and then cheat again and again is a man who does not believe he deserves to be known. "Mate," said Sella, "this is perfect. They'll never know the difference." Bradley frowned. "I hope they will. Otherwise, you know, we're all fucked." "More than you know, my friend. Your own filters aren't letting you see how deeply we're all fucked." Albert had worked a long time earlier on a now-defunct project to create a virtual gaming suit. "Virtual sex suit, you mean," said Sella. And Albert admitted that the adult gaming market had been a large part of their business plan. There were parts inside the suit that swelled and other parts that became soft and further parts that grew and yielded and vibrated and— Yeah, said Sella. "You were making a suit for grown men who literally want to crawl back inside their mummy's vag, which is all men. Except the gay ones, sorry." "None taken," said Albert. The project had hit some snags to do with costs. There was no price point they could make the thing for that was less than it would cost to hire a practically infinite number of real women to do all the things the suit might do for you or to you. "What about the gaming aspect, Albert?" said Sella. "Turns out not a lot of people want to actually feel what it's like to really be a soldier, I guess," he said. The mixed reality capacity was already present in the suit prototypes. If you were looking through the visor, it would look as if you were seeing the real world, but in fact, you'd be seeing whatever the suit wanted you to. "So we add in, like, plant and animal recognition for the region? We already know what region they're going to, so that's not too difficult. Instructions about how to survive there, ditto. Load up a bunch of entertainment. Use a standard Anvil Service personality type with voice recognition." Sella was nodding, checking off a mental list. "Yeah," she smiled. "Yeah, it's doable. We'll need some more assets, but it's doable. The thing is, it looks like it will work in any situation, but actually it only needs to work in this one really controlled situation. So we can do it. And if we want to fiddle with it while they're in play, we can always do an overnight update via satellite, or even augment it or interact with it in real time. Not harder than real-time drone updates, and Zimri's people do that every fucking day." The place wasn't hard to decide on. The future-safe zones were no-fly areas. They wouldn't see aircraft in the sky, so they wouldn't try to signal. Admiral Hunsey Island was the most remote future-safe in the portfolio. "We'll set the video drones to avoid the areas they've been. It'll be pretty simple," said Sella. "We edit that shit anyway. Zimri's taken me to visit a couple of the future safe zones already. He uses them for corporate entertaining. Online users always think they've seen everything. You'd have to have the top level security to notice that the drones are avoiding some areas or playing yesterday's footage sometimes." "I can fix that," said Martha. "It'll just be me. I already have the island set up for long-term survival." Martha waited for the others to cotton on. No, said Badger. You turned a wildlife sanctuary into a bunker? There's a reason we're doing this, said Martha. Badger pulled a carrot stick out of a container in their bag and munched furiously. Fuckers, they said. If we don't do this now, they'll be destroyed by bloody revolution in a decade. Good point. We're helping them, really, said Sella. Organizing a disappearing plane was somewhat complex. Albert was a pilot. He could fly the plane, he could get it into place, turn off the transponder, bail out with a parachute, leave remote pilot software to fly it on a few more hundred miles, then bank sharply. You want to do that? Asked Badger. I'm in extra time anyway, said Albert. Might as well have some fun. There were targeted explosives that could make the plane look like it was being taken down from the outside, while giving the passengers plenty of time to escape. Tricky. Easy for someone to get injured or even die, but safe enough that they could tell themselves no one would need to die. Auger was the last part to fall into place. They'd been looking for something like it for a while, something that would convince these people to get on that plane, to do it quietly and secretly, to cover their own tracks. Martha had found it at a technology incubator. The inventor, C. Packship, was trying to make predictive tactical military software, but the military make their own stuff, and all he really wanted was to be bought up. Martha reoriented him. What if, instead of trying to predict enemy movements, the software analyzed the current tactical situation in detail, offering combat options an operator might otherwise miss? What if that prediction element could be oriented in a different way? Toward the consumer market, toward people who want to know when bad things are on the way. C. Packship had said, I don't think Auger's going to be able to do what you want Auger to do. And Martha had said, don't worry about it. Really, just don't worry about it. All we need is a proof of concept. You know, like when you want to show what your software will do, but it doesn't do that yet, so you commission a little animation to show it working? You want an animation from me? Lenk Skatlish is very personally interested in this project. I want something I can show him so that he will invest in the project, and then we can get it to do what we want it to do. Isn't this how Elizabeth Holmes got, in trouble with Theranos? Making it look like it could do something it couldn't do? Really, don't worry. Lenk is more of a kinetic, tactile learner. This will help make it real for him. Poor Rich C. Packship. He had really tried his hardest to make Auger what Martha wanted it to be. The tactical analysis part used the iterative game mechanic, a billion beads through a billion matchboxes. How could you escape from danger in this locked car, in this garage, in this convenience store, in this children's play park? Again and again, users and testers, telling the machine whether it had gotten it right, spotted things that could be used successfully to defeat an assailant, to hide, to get away faster. That part was always going to be the impressive and convincing part. Put it on someone's phone, wait for them to be in danger. But my mom is literally never in danger, said Badger. I mean, that's her whole thing. It'll be Lenk, said Martha. He had himself kidnapped by a gang of 8 bikers once just to see how he'd cope. Gave them a 6-month window to do it anytime he was alone. Fuck, what happened? Martha shook her head. He used the safe word 2 hours in. To get to a conference call on time. Sella laughed her throaty laugh. What a dick. So this was the plan. They'd give them Auger. They'd all be convinced by Lenk managing to escape some fake kidnapping. And because the first part had worked, they'd believe the second part would work too. But as it turned out, they hadn't needed a fake kidnapping when they had a real assassin. Martha Einkorn had given Auger to her lover, and then a person motivated by internet conspiracy theories had followed Lai Zhen into a crowded mall in Singapore and opened fire. Auger had gotten Lai Zhen out, had kept her safe. And when Lenk Skatlish, Ellen Bywater, and Zimri Nomik had reviewed the photographs and video files and seen what Auger had done, they believed in Auger, not just with their money, which was relatively easy to extract from them, but with that rarest of all commodities, their trust. The money had never been the point. Finding Sea Pack Ship, polishing his presentation, securing the investment. None of this had been what Martha and Badger, Sella and Albert needed for their plan. It was just window dressing, all there to make the thing look convincing. What they needed was to know that Ellen, Lenk, and Zimri would actually get on the plane when the Auger alert tripped. And and after the billionaires looked at the footage from the Seasons Time Mall, they saw what Augur could do and what it could save them from. They trusted Augur, perhaps more than they trusted any living person. So everything was ready. And then all that had been needed was the future. That was what they called it between themselves, the future, although it wasn't really a future per se, and it was composed of more than 1,700 individual bets and short stock positions. It was a bet like a prophecy, based on knowing precisely what was going to happen, and it had to look as though it hadn't come from them. Placing the future had taken some time and trouble. Sella and Albert had set it up through a series of 127 different holding and shell companies, investing their considerable fortunes in hedge funds and venture capital associations, buying up certain stocks, and, most importantly, shorting certain other stocks. The future they created would do extremely well if, within a certain brief window, the stock of Fantel, Medlar, and Anvil fell dramatically and suddenly. The only way to really control the future is if you're the one making it happen. As the terrible news came through of a disappeared plane, in every stock market on the planet, certain beads ran through certain matchboxes, and the messages they represented moved around certain amounts of stock and money. All anyone could say afterward was that some people had become very rich that day, but it was never entirely clear who.